Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
I'm telling women, look, your fight for a seat at the table probably began in seventh grade.
Wow, yeah.
And women would burst into tears and they'd say, I remember the exact moment when I didn't have a seat at the popular table.
Dr. Heather Holloman on Focus on the Family Minute on how she's encouraged women to find their value in Christ.
Men too.
Yeah.
And so I was teaching for about 10 years on this idea of having your seat at the table, because Ephesians 2:6 says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Christ in the heavenly realms. And I was teaching women this, and so many people said, if I had just known this when I was 13 years old, that I'm already seated at the best table with Jesus, it would have healed that wound of rejection from the middle school lunch table.
More from Dr. Holloman about helping your preteen daughter find peace and security at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles. Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We moved from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Good afternoon and welcome to Free Talk California with Susanna Luthi on AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM. Phone lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. California Free Talk is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. And now, Free Talk California on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Hello and welcome to my last Monday show for a little while. I have not had the baby yet, but it feels like it's coming soon and I'll be taking a little break. My dad said that I hadn't made it clear that this would be my last week for my hiatus. So hopefully it's not too long of a hiatus, but I will need one. Definitely at the point where the pregnancy feels never ending, and that always happens just before the end. So let's hope this baby comes soon. Anyway, today our guest will be Elizabeth Barcahana from the LA GOP. Wanted to have her on because she is a Cassandra. She warned about what was going to happen with Prop 50, which, if you missed it this week, the U.S. Supreme Court, conservative majority and all, upheld. So no one came to save us after we refused to go to the polls or mail our ballots in order to decline the state's push to disenfranchise us. So anyway, she is going to talk about the Los Angeles mayor's race. Yes, it does matter, because we get a lot of refugees these days from LA who bring their politics, even though they are fleeing the politics that they either voted for or allowed in their city. And what it looks like in LA is that very, very likely that city could get its own Zohran Mamdani, who is the mayor of New York, already a dismal failure, on steroids if people don't wake up. And I think it's really important to care about our largest city. Lots of downstream effects from that. And it is truly terrifying. The Democratic Socialists of America have really gained a strong, strong grip on Los Angeles politics, starting with the school board. And the schools really declined, and now they are going after private property. They have destroyed Santa Monica, one of the most, you know, not long ago, a decade ago, the most pristine city in Los Angeles. And they are going for the entire city. So, important to talk about. But first, before Elizabeth calls in, we are going to return to Jeffrey Epstein. And I know I told you last week that I couldn't stomach to look at the Epstein files myself on the DOJ website. I was going to rely on other people's reporting. And it's still true. I do not have the stomach to look at the gross stuff. I listened to Tucker Carlson's episode last week on the pizza front, and it was absolutely sickening. But I thought, you know, I have to do some searches, because the story and all its sordidness, its obvious satanic demonic influences, is too important. I mean, he was the nexus of so much power, and every cultural story that's happened in the last 20 years, from COVID to Pizzagate to QAnon, it all seems to coincide with him. Things that we thought were crazy, that I thought were wild conspiracy theories. And so we have to look at it. You know, it's really, the files are proving that this whole structure is a very sick, disgusting joke. And why are we even, how is it even standing up? I mean, it explains so much about the decline of our civilization, our society, our government. And it really makes me think, spiritually, we have to return to God and fight this. And so we do have to look at it. I saw someone said, you know, the surprise hasn't been the blackmail and ritual abuse. It's that nearly everything of significance in the last 15 years was touched by Epstein's circle: blockchain, Bitcoin, gaming, Reddit, 4chan, QAnon, gender, COVID. Yes, the transgenderism element that we discussed last week. It isn't the Epstein network, it's the network. And kind of appropriately, just before these files were released, I just reread the last book in C.S. Lewis's science fiction trilogy. It's called That Hideous Strength. I really recommend it if you have not read it. It was published in 1945, and it is a vivid picture of the same foolish, completely tied to this world and this idea of somehow gaining immortality through this world and through compromise with evil that we are seeing in the Epstein files. And one thing that the book shows is how the evil forces pull the strings of the right and left political parties. You know, we're seeing the Epstein files touch Republicans and Democrats. So it's very similar picture. And I just think it's very good to read C.S. Lewis. He was very clear-eyed. And what we are seeing now started pretty early in the 20th century. We are the unlucky people who are stuck at the end of this devolution. Or maybe we're the lucky ones who can reclaim spiritual strength and fight back. I want to quote a few items from C.S. Lewis before we get into some of the files that I looked at on the DOJ website, the U.S. DOJ website, where millions of emails and images, etc., were related to Epstein were released. So anyway, I'm going to do a few quotes, read a few quotes from C.S. Lewis that seem very relevant, and I think we have to kind of arm ourselves with wisdom before diving into talking about Jeffrey Epstein. So in one letter, C.S. Lewis wrote, quote, 100 years ago, we all thought that democracy was it. Neither you nor I probably think so now. That was a while ago. I certainly don't think so now. It neither allows the ordinary man to control legislation nor qualifies him to do so. The real questions are imaginary issues. And this is all the easier because democracy always in the end destroys education. It did so for you some time ago and is doing so for us. I am, you see, at my wit's end on such matters. Only a power higher than man's can really find a way out. Odd to compare humanity's political inefficiency with its wonderful success in the arts, which have really declined since. And then I'm going to close with a quote from the Screwtape Letters. What I want to fix your attention on is the vast overall movement toward the discrediting and finally elimination of every kind of human excellence, moral, cultural, social, or intellectual. And is it not pretty to notice how democracy is now doing for us the work which was once done by the ancient dictatorships and by the same methods? Allow no preeminence among your subjects. Let no man live who is wiser or better or more famous or even handsomer than the mass. Cut them all down to a level. All slaves, all ciphers, all nobodies, all equals. Does that sound like equity? Thus, tyrants could practice, in a sense, democracy. But now democracy can do the same work without any other tyranny than her own. Close quote. So, if that sounds like where we are now, you're right. So anyway, with that in mind, let's get back to Epstein. So there are a few things that I wanted to look at. One, I wanted to look up a few figures involved in banking. When I lived in Washington, D.C., I had friends who were attorneys with the International Monetary Fund. I also had a friend who worked at the World Bank. And I realized that that is the real power behind all the world. They lived this very bubble lifestyle. You know, they all made six figures, high six figures, were not taxed. They did not have to pay any tax in any country. The people themselves who work at the IMF, there was some luck involved in those who were getting hired from the United States into that big building. But I was invited to the IMF Christmas party one year, and I saw basically it's the elites of every country get appointed to the IMF because it guarantees a very high salary. Not sure what they do other than control the puppet strings behind financial success or devastation of other countries. And on top of all that, they once you retire from the IMF, you keep making your tax-free full salary. Yes, it is definitely a swanky place to be. The just retired head of the IMF had been Christine Lagarde. She is now the president of the European Central Bank. She inflicted a lot of harm on Greece, Argentina, other countries, but somehow keeps failing up. She's a very elegant woman. And she was not involved in any correspondence with Jeffrey Epstein, but it was really interesting how many emails kind of just mention her. So there was some, I'm not sure who the sender was on this email to Jeffrey Epstein, but it seems that he corresponded with a lot of young women who were aspiring to aspiring to careers, and he consulted with them. In one email from 2015, someone who seems to be French, and it seems like a woman based on the tone of the email, said, "Oh la la, my gentle Jeffrey, thank you so very much. She comes from a good, strict family, as I understood. I got wonderful feedback from her. She put me in touch with the head of something, private banking. I'm so happy. She did not tell me about you yet. I went to blank, redacted, met Tony Blair, his wife, Christine Lagarde." That's the former head of IMF. "A lot of parliamentarians from Ukraine and Harvard graduates. We debated in roundtables with the world's smartest CEOs, ministers, and billionaires." I will say there's lots of misspellings and typos in this email if you ever feel insecure. "I was over the moon being with intelligent, wise people around. There are lots of young talents that I met under 35. Bright people, part of Redacted, where I applied to for 2016. Do you want their contacts? In which field you need talents?" This is in response to an email saying that Jeffrey Epstein is looking for intelligent, forward-thinking individuals, and wanted to be introduced to a school friend who is young and gorgeous. All right, so there was that. There is another lots of just accounts of. There is another email from 2012 from a redacted person. Probably it sounds like a woman to Jeffrey Epstein, saying you should get a villa and do it. Let's see. He's asking her for highlights from some trip. And she said, "My highlights were hosting the global shapers from around the world under 30 years old. Dinner with Bill." Not sure which Bill that is. "Watching Boris be Boris. I learned that I can bring a quote unquote spouse with all access, no questions asked. So if I get invited next year, please be my spouse. Not sure I will get invited back, but maybe. Basically, I learned that none of these elite know much more individually than I do, but their networks are force multipliers. I enjoy the philosophical discussions on capitalism. I met some Russian oligarchs, one who told me you are too beautiful to fly commercial when I said I was leaving tomorrow. Christine Lagarde is super insecure, which was unexpected. Arianna Huffington is mean to her staff. Mick Jagger was tons of fun. He's 72 and surprisingly smart. Only about 10% of attendees are real females, whatever that means. The rest of the ladies are staff. Oh, met some woman from JP Morgan. I think her name was Mary. She called you Uncle F. Uncle F. Which made me think she was a friend, but Boris later told me she was not a friend." There's another email referring to JP Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon as Jeffrey Epstein's chum. "Lots of emails speaking of finance between Jeffrey Epstein and Ariane de Rothschild. She married into the Rothschild family and is now the CEO of the Rothschild Group. She is worth about $5 billion. And there was some really weird stuff. Correspondence. One thing that stuck out to me, and I found it by accident, there's this long exchange between her and Jeffrey Epstein where he's urging her to make sure her daughters get the HPV vaccine. That is a sexually transmitted disease vaccine that's pretty controversial, and it began to really be forced on everyone about 10 years ago, maybe a little bit longer. And then that made me search for HPV vaccines, which came up because we were just told that it's being pushed in the public schools. And my stepdaughter is in public school, and the school is basically like, it's not quite required, but that they really make you think that it's kind of required. Turns out this vaccine is of great interest to Jeffrey Epstein and his friends. Sultan bin Salam, who is the powerful magnate behind Dubai's success. He was close with Jeffrey Epstein. He emailed Jeffrey Epstein about the importance of the HPV vaccine. And then there's a lot of disturbing correspondence where he's just asking random people, well, I don't know if they're random, the names are all redacted, about, did you ever get the HPV shot? That's an email from 2016 to an undisclosed recipient. Then there are WhatsApp messages with someone else where he is pushing people to, pushing some unnamed person, saying, ask him to ask a doctor to take a nude photo and a full blood test with hormones, the blood test for you and the photo for me. All around an HPV appointment. Let's see, there was, as I, there's correspondence about a, about basketball game tickets, and then interspersed with that is a question of whether this, the correspondent got the HPV shot. I mean, it's just, it's very weird. iMessages also with an undisclosed person asking it, kind of this gross, there's this gross exchange at basically asking for, it sounded like a companion. And then the person says, oh, I don't know who it would be because so-and-so just got HPV. And then Jeffrey Epstein goes on and on about how HPV is really bad and but the vaccine is too late. So anyway, very interesting that the HPV shot, which is very controversial, and they tried actually to mandate, require in California last year, and it collapsed because of grassroots opposition, was so pushed and championed by Jeffrey Epstein. All right, we are going to take a quick break, and when we are back, we will be talking about LA politics with Elizabeth Barcahana. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Free Talk California.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Daria Albinger. Ghislaine Maxwell took the fifth at today's virtual deposition between the House Oversight Committee. New Mexico Democrat Melanie Stansberry says she thinks that Maxwell was trying to send a message to President Trump.
This was an effort to essentially try to secure her pardon by keeping her mouth shut. And we will not allow this silence to stand.
Chair James Comer thinks Maxwell might talk if the president steps in. She's doing prison time for grooming young women to be sexually assaulted by Jeffrey Epstein and others. Are they made of gold or glass?
Don't jump in them. I was jumping in excitement and it broke. I'm sure somebody will fix it. It's not like crazy broken, but it's a little broken.
U.S. skier Breezy Johnson says her Olympic medal and other athletes' medals have already broken just hours after she got hers. America's listening to Fox News.
Hello from the Groves on 41, where olive oil is our favorite subject.
Yes, and we are seeing an increasing awareness of the health benefits of olive oil, not just for your heart, but your brain and your skin, too. I'm drinking it. Consuming more olive oil is easy with our crazy flavors, like cinnamon, raspberry, rosemary, and more. You could have olive oil for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and dessert.
Schedule a tasting and tour at the Groves on 41, or visit us at a farmer's market Saturday mornings in Templeton, Tuesday mornings in Paso, and want to learn more? Go to thegrovesonforty1.com.
Hi, welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi, and joining me now from Los Angeles is Elizabeth Barcahana from the LA GOP. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Hi, Susanna. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. So I teed this up in the intro, but Los Angeles is facing a potential political earthquake, which I believe will have drastic consequences in the state, potentially nationally. And that is the surprise entry into the mayor's race of Nithya Raman, who is a socialist city council member. She actually represents, doesn't she represent Los Feliz, where I used to live when I lived in Los Angeles. So I'm aware of her record just because she has inflicted some harm on her district. But she is entering the race to challenge disgraced Mayor Karen Bass, who does need to go. She comes in after there was a splash. Former reality star Spencer Pratt jumped into the race because he is very angry over the burning of Los Angeles. He's been key to exposing corruption and incompetence by Bass and Newsom around that the fires of last year. Anyway, but then all the air has been sucked out of the room by Nithya Raman's entry, which was accompanied by this very flattering New York Times profile of her. So anyway, I guess the first thing I want to ask you is, why should we care about this race? Those of us Californians who are outside Los Angeles, and can you tell us a little bit about Nithya Raman?
Yeah, so everyone should care about this race just as much as we cared about the Mamdani race in New York City, because this is what they're Mamdanying us, is what's going on. And Los Angeles is the biggest city in California. LA County is the biggest county in the nation. So what happens here is like the petri dish testing ground for then what gets exported outside of the city, outside of the county, and outside of the state. No matter where you live, even if you live in a red district or a red state, this stuff is going to infiltrate your schools through the teachers' union network. It's just very dangerous, and everybody should care. And, you know, for people who don't really understand why everything was so chaotic in the mayor's race, why there was no challenger to Mayor Bass the day after the fires, January 8th, 2025, there should have been a challenger. And there wasn't, because Rick Caruso kept everybody in limbo for 1 year. And it wasn't until he decided that he wasn't going to run and challenge her that then Spencer Pratt decided to run, because nobody else was doing it. And so the Democratic Socialists saw the opportunity to challenge her from the left. And this is their playbook across the country. They will find a vulnerable Democrat who is embroiled in controversy or who is very unpopular for whatever reason, and they'll challenge them in a race where people are just looking for any alternative. So we had a poll done recently in LA, in the city of LA, where they were polling the different candidates, and I think the top answer, or maybe second place answer, was anyone else but Karen Bass. Mm. And when a Democratic Socialist looks at that, that is their ticket. That's exactly how Nithya Raman got elected in 2020 onto the city council. She was the only one to challenge an establishment Democrat who was deeply unpopular. That is how we got George Gascon as the district attorney of L.A. County the same year. And they can come in these nonpartisan races and win outright in the spring when we have, so that's considered like the primary election. But in a nonpartisan race, if you win over 50% of the vote in that election, you win outright and you don't go to November. Mm. And so many people sit that out. It's a lower turnout election, which makes it easier to win.
And I need to note that the Democratic Socialists of America, I've done reporting on this, they are extremely organized in Los Angeles.
Yes.
And they got their hold on the teachers union first. They have since then placed members all over the county and city government of Los Angeles. They're extremely influential. Obviously, they're very tied with all the unions. And Los Angeles, like the rest of California, has a problem of people not voting the normies not voting, and so the activists very easily take over, and we see this in San Francisco and obviously the whole state, as we saw with Prop 50. So it is pretty shocking how much they've taken over. We've seen the harm they've done to the schools very quickly, and the DSA really targeted schools very, very efficiently and very strategically. There was a report that I did based on their 2018 manifesto where they talked about how we need to take over the schools and then everything else will follow. And it really is amazing how many members of Congress and how many influential city positions across the country they were able to take over following that AOC. Manifesto. AOC.
Yeah. AOC, Bernie Sanders, Zoran Mamdani, like it's across the nation. Nitya Ramen was our first DSA member to get elected to the city council, and since then there's been two more. And you only need 8 seats on LA City Council to take the majority, and now we're talking about having one of them in the mayor's office. So this is very, very serious. The math, again, makes it very, very serious, because if she can either win outright, win more than 50% of the vote. So when she ran for re-election in 2024, she won outright with 50.7% of the vote in her district.
Oh, wow.
She's not popular, but she's very, very organized. They have a very organized ballot harvesting system. They're not shy to do it. There are reports that like they use homeless shelters as a place to harvest ballots. They get the homeless into the shelter, then they have to have residents there for 60 days, and then they can register to vote there. And actually, in California, you don't even need to be registered at an address. You can be. There's reports of people being registered to like a public bathroom. So it's really not that hard to do. The law makes it easy. And we think that she knows how to take advantage of that. But the Democratic Socialists are, people think it's like a club. This is like a very organized communist Marxist infiltration of the Democratic Party. And the establishment is at the point where they can't control them anymore.
They got powerful so quickly. I remember after AOC's win, I was in D.C. at the time as a reporter, and all the staffers were just kind of rolling their eyes. The Democratic staffers were rolling their eyes and basically really underestimating the whole movement, thinking it could be co-opted by the main party. But the main party is so old and corrupt and gross, they were not able to do that. They folded under the energy of the communist youth, that energy, which is very powerful and potent.
And they stand for very radical things like disarming, defunding, and abolishing the police, closing the jails, raising taxes, decriminalizing drugs. Nitya Ramen voted against clearing encampments within 500 feet of schools because she says her reasoning was, quote, that doesn't make kids safer. This is not the way normal people think. But, again, because BAF is very unpopular, she really has a chance just because she is an alternative that has organized infrastructure behind her in a way that probably, I would guess, Spencer Pratt is struggling with building because he is not a seasoned politician. He's a regular guy.
He's an outsider,
he's running. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's a 4 scenarios that I've like kind of gamed out for people, and I've talked about it on my social media, on Instagram, at Elizabeth from California, where basically there's 4 likely scenarios. One is Bass wins outright in the June 2nd election and somehow gets more than 50% of the vote. The second is Nitya Ramen gets more than 50% of the vote and she becomes Los Angeles's next mayor. The third option is Nitya Ramen and that nobody gets more than 50% of the vote because there's like 25 people running or something like that, so that the vote is split so much that nobody gets 50% of the vote But Bass and Rahman are the top two vote getters, and they advance to the general in November. And at that time, the establishment is going to get behind. They're either going to abandon Bass because she has so much baggage and they're going to get behind Rahman, or not. And one of those two will win. But I think that Bass is such a weak candidate that I think Rahman would win if it's between the two of them. Mm. The fourth option is that Spencer Pratt, the Democrats split the vote, that Spencer Pratt gets enough support from, you know, normal centrist people who don't want a communist. And so the two of then Spencer Pratt and Mayor Bass go to advance in the general, and then it's between the two of them.
Rick Caruso.
But Nancy Rahman has a very good chance of winning, and this needs to be taken very, very seriously. And nobody expected this either, because we were all looking at Lindsay Horvath.
Yep. Rick Caruso seems to have bent the knee to the Democratic establishment. If Rahman looks like she's going to win, would he support Spencer Pratt or do anything
No, he's not going to. He's going to protect his business interests, which is, I think, the reason why he didn't run in the first place, which is, I think, the reason why he, started to align himself with the Democratic establishment in the first place. But I think that, you know, that's his prerogative to do. But in the meantime, by leaving the city hanging the way that he did, I think this circumstance and this outcome for Los Angeles, I put squarely in his lap. He did that to us.
Yeah. I do want to mention, if you want to know how extreme the DSA in Los Angeles is, and that it's not a joke, so I think it was just last year they published a 9,000-word-long manifesto for policies that they want to promote and implement in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And basically they are targeting real estate nonprofits and union leaders for kind of total takeover. They said they think they can pull it off in 6 to 8 years through local elections and organizing. They want to allow illegal immigrants to vote, which is kind of their a main thing in blue cities right now. They want to ban Airbnbs, seize golf courses for public housing, enforce a even more propagandized school curriculum that focuses on social justice, eliminate all fossil fuel use, and then this is their dire warning, quote, "We are on the burning edge of economic, climate, and moral crises that define this generation. The choice remains socialism or barbarism."
Mm-hmm.
Great.
They're communists.
Yep.
The things that you just said, you talked about no borders, seizing private property, complete indoctrination in the education system with a communist Marxist ideology. It's all the things that we've been seeing that's going on. And people are like, where did this come from? Well, this is where it came from.
Yes, it's communism. And I do want to note about Nithya Rahman, she is not from a poor background. Wasn't there a scandal about her that the house that she was refusing?
She lives in a multi-million dollar house. She's married to
her husband is a writer for 30 Rock and Modern Family. Very, very wealthy.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Very on brand for communists.
Yes.
These are champagne communists who never have to suffer the consequences of their own policies. She doesn't have to live next to a homeless encampment. Her kids don't have to walk through a drug den to get to school.
Yeah. So what's going on in Los Angeles is everyone kind of scrambles with this new landscape and prospect, and how can Californians get involved in trying to fight this?
Yes, everyone is scrambling because no one expected this outcome. I was resigned to be like, okay, if Bass wins, then it's status quo. That's like the worst. It's not going to get worse than it already is. But now yes, it is possible to get worse. And we just are seeing, you know, less than a month of Zoran Mamdani in New York. 16 people died because they were left outside to freeze to death. Homeless people.
Yep.
They're not picking up the trash. People are immobile because they're not shoveling the snow. These are very basic city services. But he's getting up there and, you know, talking nonsense while people are dying and the city is screeching to a grinding halt. The biggest city in the United States. We have the Olympics coming here in Los Angeles. There's no way that we're prepared for that. You know, they want to increase taxes here. This idea that, you know, things are kind of turning around is not the case.
And unfortunately, that's all the time we have. We're up against the music. But thank you so much for coming on. We'll have you back after my maternity leave to talk about this more, I'm sure. Thank you.
Easy delivery.
Thank you. All right, everyone, stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Free Talk California.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Charles Payne, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages kicking off the new trading week higher, with the Dow posting its sixth record close of the year. Investors are getting in gear for another busy week of earnings and economic data. Tech stocks were among the best performers in the S&P 500 sectors, while healthcare lagged. The Magnificent Seven stocks were mostly higher, led by Nvidia, Microsoft, and Meta Platforms. Software stocks attempted to rebound as AI margin fears eased over the weekend. Wedbush Securities Research Analyst Dan Ives added Salesforce and ServiceNow to the firm's AI 30 list. Gold prices shined again, with the precious metal trading above $5,000 a troy ounce. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, Caterpillar, and Microsoft. The Dow decliners, Travelers, Amgen, and Visa. The Dow rising 20 points. The Nasdaq higher by 207. S&P 500 up 33. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Progressive Commercial presents
Heroes That Keep Truckers Going.
Today's hero, the vending machine restocker who gave you a free energy drink. Was it out of the kindness of her heart, or was it just one less can she had to stock? Either way, thanks, hero. What else can keep truckers going? Progressive Truck Insurance, with primary liability limits up to $2 million. Get a quote in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Covered subject to terms and limits.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
The California Mid-State Fair is pleased to announce Eric Church as part of the Michelob Ultra Concert Series, Saturday, July 18th. Tickets go on sale Friday, February 13th at 10 a.m., but you can win them before you can buy them right here on KPRL. Be listening to The Morning Exchange Monday through Friday, 6 to 9, for Eric Church. Coming to the California Mid-State Fair, July 18th. Tickets go on sale this Friday, the 13th. Go to midstatefair.com.
Welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Suzanne Luthi. In our last part of the segment, we will focus on California state politics. I want to note some things. My husband keeps asking me who we should support in the California governor's race. I don't know, but it's interesting. The Democratic candidates keep releasing polls showing themselves as number two. Well, not the ones who are way, way, way at the bottom, but for instance, Eric Swalwell, the financially incompetent, very TV-focused Bay Area congressman who is, for some reason, wanting to run a state despite no experience in anything like that, just released a poll showing himself polling at 18% behind Chad Bianco at 21%. And then next up, Steve Hilton at 17%. And I just bring that up because it's been pointed out, and I think it's worth everyone just kind of being cynically aware that this happens in order for the Democrat to gain more support, more money from donors if they show themselves to be second. And then they're very sure that once the primary is over, that they will easily win the governorship because the state is so overwhelmingly registered and organized for Democrats. So kind of our only hope is if somehow Chad Bianco and Steve Hilton both get into the top two. However, that's very unlikely. About one third of Democrats are not decided. They will turn out probably in much greater numbers than Republicans. But there's always hope. There's always hope. Anyway, I want to bring attention to a few different bills, and particularly one legislator in Sacramento. As we have discussed on the show and highlighted in all the bad bills we have covered on this program, there are many bad lawmakers in Sacramento. I should actually rephrase that. Sacramento seems to draw some of the most lethal people who have no real world experience, have no common sense, who seem to be actively, whatever you can say about the good intentions of progressives, so-called progressives. I am so over that. I don't think they have good intentions anymore. But whatever, the bleeding hearts. Anyway, they have the ability to author thousands of bills where we end up every year with, you know, more than 1,000 new laws that are more ridiculous than the laws that exist. They never unwind laws. They just add more. And thanks to the dominant party rule, there's no common sense checks. The only checks we've had since Newsom has been governor is the fact that he wants to be president. So he has vetoed some of the really, a few, not many, but a few of some really terrible bills, including by the lawmaker we're going to talk about today. So this is a woman named Lori Wilson. She is from the Bay Area. I should have looked up her background. She kind of came out of nowhere, but she's in a very safe district. She is very liberal. She is a Black woman. She kind of sprang onto the main stage when she was very new. She hasn't been in the legislature very long, which unfortunately means she will be in there for quite some time unless somehow someone in her district will take notice and rally and replace her. But anyway, when she was a rookie first-year legislator, she was the one who introduced that bill that I will take credit for helping to kill, because my story was the one that exploded it onto the national scene, but it was the bill that would have made it basically child abuse if you're a parent who does not trans your kid who wants to be transed. And it would have really weaponized. It was focused on the custody courts, but it would have, you know, gone downstream from there and really weaponized custody court, basically denying any, which is already happening because the courts are so captured, but would have really made it impossible to unwind the trans agenda in custody courts, which are tough enough as it is. So that bill did pass, but there was this huge storm. Scott Wiener, who was also behind it, but really pushing Lori Wilson up front, you know, in front of him, because she was a Black woman who had a daughter who was gender confused and transitioned, or quote unquote transitioned, to be male. He really put, Scott Wiener really pushed this new lawmaker as the face of this bill, when it was being debated, and it was just the object of so much opposition. She would appear with a bald head and a mask, looking very sick, to defend her bill. She would cry, etc. Anyway, thankfully, even though the bill did pass our very liberal left-wing legislature, it was vetoed by Newsom, thanks to his presidential ambitions. I'm only going to credit that. But the idea did live on. The same concept was ultimately enshrined in law in Colorado. I believe it was last year, maybe 2 years ago. And Colorado's Democratic Governor Jared Polis did sign it. I will say Colorado's legislature and government is looking almost crazier than California's. So we can be lucky. We can be thankful, even though they're destroying that state, that, you know, we're kind of used to it, and we have a lot more organized opposition to fight back. So anyway, Lori Wilson, this California assemblywoman, is now pushing two bills. One is a study of a potential mileage tax, and she is claiming that we are facing such a financial cliff, with the roads, because, as you know, the state is pushing EVs so hard, and even though we have super high gas taxes, oh no, the transition of so many people to EVs is hurting their coffers for their endless projects. So rather than rein in spending, or to look at Caltrans spending, which I can tell you is very wasteful, what about that multi-million dollar roundabout on Highway 46 outside Templeton, as an example. But yes, rather than looking at all the milking of the system that goes into the poor state of roads and all the money that goes into them, yes, we have to find a new tax. And one of the tricks of this legislature is to pen these bills. They're just studies. Oh, we're just studying it. Well, I can tell you, after covering the legislature for a few years, those studies rapidly become actual policy. So now is the time to oppose it. The proposal is called Assembly Bill 1421. Write that down. Follow it. And Lori Wilson describes this bill as a way to help lawmakers make an informed decision as they push to phase out oil and gas. And oh no, this, you know, fewer dollars in gas taxes, and we're just going to have to figure out how to get more money. Her exact quote is, what is it? We are facing a cliff when it comes to our resources to be able to deal with our transportation infrastructure. What I don't want is 7 years from now, 8 years from now, when it's crumbling, well, it already is crumbling, and we don't have a way to pay for it. And people are like, why didn't you do something about it? Or now you have to charge me way more to cover it. I want to have those conversations now. That's what she told KCRA over the weekend. So anyway, that is one of her bills. The other one, get this, she is proposing to keep some records related to our boondoggle high-speed rail project hidden from the public. Specifically, it would allow the high-speed rails inspector general to keep records from the public that could, quote, reveal weaknesses that could be exploited by individuals attempting to harm the interests of the state or inappropriately benefit from the project. It would also allow the inspector general's correspondence with anyone who helped the office with the project to be kept secret. So this massive boondoggle, multi-billion dollar project, which we can't even keep accounting of it would be even more shrouded in secrecy. So anyway, watch these bills. That's our lawmaker of the day, Lori Wilson. So make your voice heard in Sacramento. Call our representatives. All right, I will sign off for a few weeks now. So take care, everyone. We'll miss you. You're listening to Free Talk California.
Free Talk California is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.